It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Last year, overdose deaths dropped by about 30,000 nationwide compared to the previous year, a decrease of nearly 30%. That's from data released this month by the CDC.
Overdose deaths went down across every category that the CDC tracks, including opioids and methamphetamine.
Wisconsin had among the biggest drops in the nation percentage-wise, with 36% fewer deaths.
The numbers are the lowest they've been since before the pandemic.
Dr. Chris Eberlein is an emergency room doctor at Gunderson by Amplify in La Crosse and co-founder of Alliance to Heal, a group in La Crosse that helps people suffering from opioid addiction. Dr. Eberlein, thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Now, before we get into these statistics, the trends and numbers, I want to remember that these are people we're talking about. You work in a community, you see the impact on people and their loved ones. Can you talk about the toll this opioid addiction has had on people you've worked with over the years?
Yeah. This has been something that has impacted just about everyone I know of knows someone that's been impacted by either an overdose or an overdose death. And, yes, we have some celebration with a reduction in opioid overdose deaths, but we are still losing 80,000 people a year in this country. This has been ongoing for a couple decades now.
And when I look at the numbers over the years in Wisconsin and around the United States, again, this big improvement in 2024 over the previous year. But if we rolled back and looked at pre-2019, that would still look like a pretty bad year, right? We're not, by any stretch of the imagination, out of the woods here.
For sure we're not. We're basically still double where we were in the 2013-2014 range. Yes, it's still having an enormous impact on our communities.
And these numbers include all overdose deaths. So that would include methamphetamine and cocaine, maybe even prescription medications. But correct me if I'm wrong, what's driven the big increase in overdose deaths and is the thing that's really driving the story is opioids and fentanyl in particular in the last few years. Do I have that right?
You do. Yeah, it has been the driving force in a lot of the increase over the last few years has been the illicit synthetic opioids, and fentanyl being the primary one, yes.
Now, looking at this good news, this big drop in 2024, there are a lot of possible explanations I've seen floated out there. What, given your firsthand perspective and your wider look at these, what stands out to you as things that may have helped drive that news?
It's really important to look at this. I don't think we're going to see one thing mm-hmm. that has driven all of it, right? But I do think we're starting to see the additive effect of multiple things that we've done. One, I think that's been really important is that increased access to naloxone, Narcan. The distribution has been wide of that. From anecdotal and personal experience with patients I see in the EMS system I lead, this has really made a big impact, saving hundreds of lives a year in our community alone. And then, you couple that with some other things that we've done, the expanded addiction treatment, really pivotal as well. Expanding, starting to utilize some of the virtual care options has been bringing care to the people that need them, especially in our rural communities that don't always have access to a substance abuse counselor or mental health resources that you do in the larger areas. So you're starting to get that expansion of care out. So that's been really important. We've expanded our medication assisted treatment options, easier access for buprenorphine and increased provider availability to prescribe that has been pivotal. And then, we've a lot of other education, some of our public health initiatives, the prevention efforts, the fentanyl test strips have been important. All of these kind of coupled together has been really pivotal in getting these numbers down. And like I said, I don't think you're going to be able to point at one thing and say, that's the magic ticket right there. But when you start to add these up, we're starting to see this shift. Finally, it's been years of work, but we're starting to see that shift.
I want to pick apart a few of those things you just listed, starting with the drugs that help prevent death when an overdose happens, naloxone and the like. How have we done at getting those kind of drugs where they're needed to the people who need them so that, that they can use them in that moment that it's a life or death situation?
Yeah, you know, when I look at that, so we've done a few things. One, we've made it so EMS fire agencies can leave Narcan behind at scenes. You know, that's something in Wisconsin we weren't able to do until about 2019. Due to some laws that were on the books. And then the over-the-counter Narcan, so more distribution. But I think the thing that really made a difference was when the Narcan Direct program, because all these programs, Narcan's an expensive drug. You know, you're talking $40 to $80 a dose. And these agencies just would not be able to give it out for free like they have been to get it to people if we didn't have programs to support that. So that has been instrumental in getting Narcan distributed. And that's something that we have to make sure that we continue to do, or we will see these overdose deaths go up again. So Narcan has been really, really important. And I think we've done a good job of reaching where it needs to go. And a lot of that is some of the public health work that they've done, looking at areas, and we've done heat maps. Where are these overdoses occurring? How can we get Narcan to the people that need it the most and educate them on how to use it?
One concern I've seen raised about the Narcan part of the solution here is, okay, well, they are alive still, and that's great, but they're still addicted. They may be in this situation again tomorrow or next week or next month. How do we take that good news, we save that life, and then take it the next step to help someone start dealing with that addiction?
To me and most people in this field, I think, you know, really the goal is we need to keep someone alive long enough to pursue treatment. And they may not be ready to pursue treatment today, but tomorrow they may be. But if they're dead from their overdose, we can't get them there. And so it's really important to make sure people have the resources so they can stay alive long enough until that day is right for them. And that's one of the things we've really focused on, and it's made a big impact. There are a lot, and I like to remind people, there are a lot of members of our communities that have been addicted to opiates and have recovered, are in recovery, and are productive members of society. You know, these are not people that should be written off. These are people that we should take care of and we should continue to support. They're our friends and family members. And so, the stigma, we've fought that for a long time. And I do believe that we've made huge strides in that. Are there still members of society that think that we shouldn't be doing some of these programs? Absolutely, there are. But we have to continue to work in proving to them that this is something that works, this saves lives, and the lives are worth saving.
I want to hammer that point home, because I think also even in my own mind, there's a part of me that thinks, oh, somebody's addicted to opioids, that's going to be forever for them. It's impossible to get out of. Except I know people who used to be addicted and now don't use those substances. There are treatments. They can work. It may not be easy, but there is hope for people to get out of opioid addiction. Can you talk about that a little more?
Yeah, there is hope. Like any addiction, it's a lot of work. You need support. You know, we've got good treatment programs, and there are many, many success stories of patients that have that are in recovery from this and, leading good, productive, healthy lives.
We're talking to Dr. Chris Eberlein, emergency room doctor at Gunderson by Amplify in La Crosse, co-founder of Alliance to Heal, a group in La Crosse that helps people suffering from opioid addiction. We're looking at a new data out from the CDC showing a big drop in overdose deaths last year compared to the previous year. Still high numbers, though, if we compare it to, say, 10 years ago. Dr. Eberlein, there were efforts over the course of the pandemic, I think in particular, to fund public health interventions, the Narcan we were talking about, but also some of the treatment you were talking about. Is that something you think may have helped move the needle?
For sure. You know, all of these programs that we have been working on, these programs were not done without good oversight and science behind them. And so, you know, the continuation of these programs is important because, you know, we, like I said, we still are losing 80,000 people a year in this country. We have not by any means won this battle. You know, we have had significant progress, but there is always a risk of backsliding if we're not careful on this.
Anything involving federal funding these days, there are concerns of whether it's going to continue in the months and years to come. Are there programs receiving federal funding that you would be particularly worried about losing?
Yeah, I think any of these sorts of programs that are working towards education, you know, the Narcan programs, you know, needle exchange is important. You know, many of these programs, yes, there's initial cost. However, the downstream cost of not doing it is much, much higher. And we really have to, you know, it's similar. It's very analogous to some of our behavioral health costs. You know, a little bit of prevention saves enormous amounts of money downstream. And so it's really important that we are careful when we evaluate these programs to what, you know, we may save a dollar today by eliminating this, but it's going to cost us hundreds of dollars in the future for each dollar saved. So, you know, kind of be really cognizant of that and make intelligent choices on where these sorts of cuts come so we don't end up in a much worse situation than we are even today.
I want to get to another factor some people have pointed to, and that's on the supply side. Some notions from people who study drugs around the country that things involving fentanyl and other synthetic opioids, for whatever reason, as they come into the United States, may be less potent and maybe are finding their ways into fewer drug combinations. That's a harder thing to track, I believe, but is that something you've seen or heard about out there?
The potency is really hard to track because, you know, it's coming in a relatively pure form, and then they're splitting it and cutting it up as it comes closer to the end user. And so much of it depends on how it is split and distributed as it gets out into the communities. So it is really hard to get good concrete data on that, to be honest with you. So that is something, you know, like so much of this opiate epidemic, you know, good data is sometimes hard to come by. And it's really important that we continue to work at finding ways to look at the impacts that the epidemic is having, the numbers of deaths and overdoses, but also our programs that we're using to combat it. That data has been incredibly important, although sometimes incomplete and not always, catching every facet of information that we need. But without it, we really have no guidance on which way to go.
Speaking of the presence of fentanyl in drugs, you mentioned earlier the test. Is it test strips that people could use to see, hey, is there fentanyl in this drug, whether it's an opioid or not? Talk us through how that works and if it seems like it's been effective, if people have said, okay, I'm not going to take this now because it turned out positive for fentanyl.
Yeah, we're definitely seeing that. And especially as we've distributed the strips, you know, we have seen an increase in the number of other drugs that have been laced with fentanyl as this has continued on. In part because, you know, fentanyl in compared to some other drugs was even cheaper. And so it was being mixed in with it. And so we, you know, there are people that have lives have been saved by testing and realizing that the thing you thought you were getting is not what you're getting. The fentanyl test strip does not give you potency. You know, it's like pregnancy test, positive, negative. There is no in between necessarily. So you really have to make sure that, it's the test strips are being used correctly. But when they are used correctly, it is really helping us.
Now, we focus mostly on opioids today. Looking at this national CDC data, yes, opioid overdose deaths went down, but so did overdose deaths for methamphetamine, cocaine, just kind of across the board, really. What do you see driving drops in overdose deaths from those other drugs?
Yeah, I think there's a couple things happening. One, I think we've done a really good job with education on how dangerous some of these substances are. And, you know, there is, you know, unfortunately, as time goes on, people know others that have died from this and are much more careful about what they're doing. And then when you start giving people more tools like the fentanyl test strips to test these other drugs, it makes them much more cautious on what they're taking, which is also helpful. So I think you are seeing a little bit of a shift in drug use patterns as well from this. But once again, it's all a little early to me to really tell. You know, that's one thing I'm, you know, when these numbers started to come out in the last, you know, 6 months to a year, really cautious optimism is what I would, for those of us working on this nearly every day is kind of what we have.
A misconception that I think I tend to have, Dr. Eberlein, is that, okay, this person might be an opioid drug user and this person is methamphetamine and so on. But there are definitely some people who are generally addicted and they'll use whatever might be available. So maybe if we're treating them because they showed up for one medication or one drug, it might be helping them avoid that other drug too. Is there something to that?
Yeah, I think there is. I absolutely, you know, we've seen a lot of polysubstance overdose deaths as well. So people are using cocktails of drugs, and I think you're continuing to see that, and it's making people it's harder to treat when you have multiple addictions. But we are still getting these people into treatment as well, which is important.
Finally, accessibility and affordability, Dr. Eberlein. If someone in your community has a problem with addiction, they're at that place where they feel like they're ready to try to fix this and they want to seek help, how easy is it for them to find that help in a timely way, in a way that they can afford?
Yeah, I think, and this is where we've made really large improvements. You know, locally, I can speak to that the best. You know, between the local hospital systems expanding medication-assisted treatment and counseling, as well as the county helping people navigate it, and then you've got independent groups that have started that treatment program. So it has really expanded our options. So it's really been helpful from that standpoint. And we've seen a lot more treatment options. You know, there's been a lot more funding for treatment. In the past, there was time where the county would run out of treatment about halfway through the year, and they didn't know what to do with people beyond that. And it was really a problem. So to continuation of funding to get people into treatment is going to be really critical moving forward. You know, like I said, we don't want to end up sliding backwards on this because we make poor choices in how and what we fund on this.
Dr. Eberlein, thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure.
Dr. Chris Eberlein is an emergency room doctor at Gunderson by Amplify in La Crosse and co-founder of Alliance to Heal. That's a La Crosse group helping people suffering from opioid addiction. He was with us for a look at last year's decrease in overdose deaths nationwide and here in Wisconsin. For disclosure, Amplify Health is a business sponsor of Wisconsin Public Radio.